America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Welcome back. Another edition of Inside Boxing Live, presented, powered by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. We're coming to you on Monday, February 10th, after what has been a tumultuous 4 or 5 days in the boxing world around Canelo Alvarez, Jake Paul, Turki Al-Sheikh. Got some fights over the weekend. We got some fights this week in New York City. Keyshawn Davis, Dennis Baranchuk. So things are really starting to heat up. We're less than 3 weeks away from Tank Davis fighting Lamont Roach on PPV.com. So go ahead and order that with us. Join us in the live interactive chat. Me, Chris, Lance Pugmire, Jim Lampley. Got some really fun content coming your way with Tank Davis. Might go out and see him before the fight. And, you know, on Fight Week, we bring all that great content to New York City. 2 weeks away from February 22nd card, which is going to be an absolute banger after banger. I haven't wrapped my mind around that, Chris. There's just a lot going on right now, Chris. Like, January in the rear view. Fight season is here. Chris Algieri is here. Let's talk boxing.
Hey, you took my line. I was going to say fight season has begun because we had a, you know, it's always like the end of the year, it gets a little slow. The beginning of January, things start to get rolling. Now we're in February and it's like off to the races. So we're going to have a ton of content coming up. We have a ton to talk about. We have a ton of fights coming up, but also there's just so much news going on, like you said. So lots of stuff to tune into. So let's get into it.
How was San Antonio?
Awesome. I mean, dude, I love San Antonio. I think it's my fourth trip there. I used to call a lot of the fights for Bam Rodriguez when he was coming up, when he first signed with Matchroom. So I'm very familiar with the place. Cool little city, the Alamo, the Riverwalk, the Boeing Center.
The women.
The women's, the men's, the fans. The Mexican fans are so awesome, dude. They're really cool. A lot of people are reaching out, so thank you.
Texas fans, Texas boxing fans are, they don't really go to Texas anymore. That was like a stop for a while with HBO. Canelo fought there a bunch of times.
Well, great Mexican fan base. It got kind of like a bad rap that it was a place like, oh, the judging's terrible. Paulie like screams from the rafters because of the Juan Diaz.
Well, didn't he fight there?
Yeah, he fought Juan Diaz and got robbed.
Oh my God, yeah.
So like he, you know, he's a boisterous guy. So he was out there, you know, screaming from the rafters that, oh, that Texas is the worst. And it kind of got that moniker a little bit, but.
Well, he had open scoring too, right?
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, we didn't touch. I didn't see that on our fights, but
we had it for a while, and that became a bad thing. And Lawrence Cole
judging was actually great this past weekend. We had one judge who was kind of asleep at the wheel, but for the main event. But otherwise, everybody was on point.
Literally, the judge was sleeping.
I mean, based on his scorecard, I mean, we had a killer fight back and forth, and the guy's got an 8-2. Like, what do you?
If you looked over and you saw a judge legitimately dozing off, I wouldn't be surprised. Number one, and I don't think he'd even get in trouble.
No, absolutely not. There's no repercussions for judging. No. It doesn't matter.
Going back to that Paulie.
The judge could literally make his scorecard on the way to the arena. He's still not going to get in trouble.
That's, no, that's, nothing. Slap on the wrist, maybe. Maybe they'll take away like one of his meal vouchers. Because they do pay for everything, which is great. Yeah. I was hearing about like the day in the life of a judge. Day in the life of a judge. Like the weekends. The commissions pay them. Obviously, and they put them up. They give them hotels. They get paid for everything. I think they make like $8,000 to $10,000 per show. Like the top guys, like Steve Weisfeld.
Wow,
Steve Weisfeld's a lawyer, so he like, you know, he has his, like, he's doing work during the week. You know, and on the weekend, weekend warrior, heading out to the biggest fights in the world. Steve Weisfeld.
It's a nice quote unquote side gig, right? $8,000 to $10,000 for a weekend
side gig where no one bothers you. You walk into the arena. I never see the judge walk into the arena too. They just emerge.
I feel like they're just already there. You know what it is? Because they have to do the early fights anyway. So, like, they're already in the arena. Like, unless you're at the very first fight and they come in pretty early, you're not going to see them.
I'd love to, like, follow or just be like, hey, go up to, like, Steve Weisfeld. Like, can I just, like, tail you for a day and we'll do content all day long? They won't do it. But, yeah. Like, that would be interesting as hell.
There's a couple guys. So a lot of times, like, I'll be coming in on a flight with the judges, and like I'll run into them. They're gone, and we'll chat on the way to the terminal. So I've seen them firsthand outside of their actual seats. I actually like Steve Weisfeld. I think he's a good judge. I
mean, he was on HBO for a while. He's the best judge, I think, out there right now.
He's considered the best judge out there at this point.
New York. He's a New Yorker. They fly him out to the biggest fights now. He's in demand. They're all good people, too. I'm not saying they're horrible people. They just get away with a lot. They don't have to answer to anyone. You know the drill by now. I can get into that for hours.
On this show.
Let's talk about what the heck happened in the boxing world last weekend. Good gracious. I would say one of the craziest 72-hour timelines in recent memory that resulted in Canelo Alvarez signing a 4-fight deal with Riyadh Season. He spurns Jake Paul. The Canelo Crawford fight is back on. We have 4 fights for Canelo, 3 of which that will be in Saudi Arabia. Canelo's fighting William Skull on May 3rd in Riyadh. Turkey tweeted at us. Is there anything I'm missing? Because that was like insanity for about 72 hours.
Well, I mean, it was literally like Crawford Canelo was off. Like, it was like a hard off. it's off. And that was the headline. And then it was like Jake Paul and Canelo Alvarez is on. And then it's like, oh man, and it's all right, so I guess we're doing that now. And then then it all flips around, and then it's like, okay, Jake Paul, Canelo. We were kidding. It's not on. And guess what? Crawford's back in the mix. We're still going to do it in September. Things didn't really change. And it's funny. Wild. We did a whole show about those announcements. And you had your 4 theories, and we're kind of going back and forth. And then ultimately, I was just like, well, this fight's definitely not off. You know, this is a negotiating ploy. Boom. And here we are. Amazing.
Yeah. Our show was pretty much thrown out the window about 6 hours into it. After I posted it, it was obsolete at that point. It was useless because when last time we recorded the show, we were under the impression that Canelo Crawford was off. I think that was the headline or the title of the last episode.
And people hit me up about that. They're like, is there going to be an emergency pod since it's just changed? I'm like, nah, we'll do it on the next show. But like,
well, I wanted to, but like, you know, you were traveling, you were gone. I wanted the dust to settle a little bit. I know we live in a world where you want immediate reactions, and I was giving my immediate reactions on social media, on Twitter, and, you know, making videos for Instagram and all that. But like, let the dust settle a little bit because it was dizzy. And this is what I do for a living. Like, my only job, the only thing I do to make money is follow the boxing news. And I was still not able to figure it all out. And I was really just like, what the heck is going on? Give me a day or two to let everything settle down a little bit. We'll come to the microphones.
It's better to be right than first.
Well, yeah, we don't have to be first. Like, you know, Mike Coppinger has to be first. Like, he's the one that was in the middle of it. He's getting information sent to him from Turkey. He's getting information sent to him by Jake Paul's team. He's reporting what he thinks is true. He's ended up looking like someone that was being in the middle of it, and they were using him. I think Turkey even admitted that in his interview that he did with Coppinger. I was feeding you wrong information. Turkey literally said, I was feeding a lot of bad information out there. Let's just go back to where it all started. So Canelo Crawford off on Thursday. And from there, you would think Canelo goes to the Jake Paul side. And apparently, Jake Paul and Canelo had been talking for a while. That's something that I've heard. And it wasn't just like, you know, Canelo went to Jake after the Crawford fight was deemed off. That fight has been brewing for a little bit of time, Canelo and Crawford.
I still think that fight happens eventually.
So do I. I mean, it's just so big. You can make a case that it's bigger than Canelo Crawford. It's definitely bigger than Canelo Skull. So obviously, but this is what I think is Canelo. This happens in negotiations all the time. Canelo was able to leverage the fight or the fight talks with Jake Paul that were legitimately happening. He posted that letter of intent and all the stuff that he posted on social media about it, and went to Turkey and said, "Listen, I need a fight in May, and this is who I am looking at fighting, Jake Paul." Turkey doesn't like Jake Paul. Mm-hmm. Pretty obvious. This is one of my main theory number one in the last episode. So therefore, Turkey says, all right, let's add a 4th fight to the deal, and let's add some more millions to the deal. I'm hearing this deal could be in excess of $350 million for Canelo for 4 fights. That's $87 million per fight. And to use, keep in mind his last big fight deal, remember the DAZN one for reference in 2018? That was 10 fights for 360, and that was considered the biggest contract in all sports at the time.
Yeah, now he's pulling like $35 million a fight. Now he's going to be pulling 85 plus.
And that deal blew up because Canelo couldn't get along with DAZN. Canelo couldn't agree on what opponents. DAZN didn't put which opponents that he, you know, a list of opponents that he had to choose from. Golovkin wasn't in that, and that's all DAZN wanted was that third Golovkin fight. And they ended up getting it, but way down the line, that ended up being a bad deal. Canelo got out of it. I don't know if that's going to happen with this four-fight deal, but that's pretty much what happened. And it happened in a 72-hour time frame. And what ultimately we get is Canelo, a four-fight deal starting in May against William Skull, the Crawford fight in September in New York, and then two more fights in Saudi Arabia, not in May, not in September, February and October, which I think are pretty fluid. Don't worry about that next year. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Come on.
It's one foot in front of the other at this point. But yeah, man, this is what a whirlwind of like fake news, you know, sparring. It's basically fencing. What we want. It's just like we said, you know, on the show. So it's like, yeah, this is a negotiating plight. This is all going to come out eventually. I didn't think it was going to come out so fast because usually dealing with Canelo takes forever, and it's like right before the fight you ever hear anything. Yeah. But can we pull up? From one of our shows, I think it was actually more than one show, where I said William Skull was going to be the opponent for Canelo Alvarez in May. I said it flat out. I was like, Dan, it's going to happen. That is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to hear
that. Chris was right.
It is going to be that because when the Crawford fight happens in September, it's going to have to be for Undisputed. So you need Canelo to make that Skull fight. He's got to get that IBF title back. And then so when they fight in September, that's going to be a big point of contention, and that people are really going to have that fight be an Undisputed. So Crawford even posted, he was like, I can't wait till September when I can be a three division Undisputed champion.
I mean, there's a lot of holes.
He said, good luck in your fight. So in September.
I know they're really hyping that. It's 7 months away. They're, you know, Crawford got on the scale. He's 186 right now. So they're going to have to be really inventive. The Canelo, Crawford, and everyone in that. Because we got 7 months of buildup.
But I have going never the weighed 186, Dan. Never.
Ever?
No.
Me
I've
neither.
I've never been more than 180. I've never even been close to 180.
I got to 180 once in college when I was just drinking beer and eating wings.
That was before you were gluten-free, Dan?
I was fat. In West Virginia, one semester, I touched 180.
That was gluten, Dan?
I was glutinous. I had so much gluten running through my veins in West Virginia, and among other things. 186 for Crawford. Let's go to Skull here. I got Skull's box rec here. I mean, William Skull, kudos to you for playing the game. You are the biggest lottery winner in boxing recent memory that I can think of. I mean, you get a gift decision against Shishkin in October. I thought he lost that fight. It's an IBF eliminator. IBF strips Canelo for some reason because IBF strips everybody. They strip Terrence Crawford, they strip Canelo Alvarez. They don't care who you are. And one way I respect it, the other way, it's just really annoying. And then he gets this lottery ticket to fight Canelo Alvarez in Riyadh. You know, he's going to get paid like crazy amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
How old is this guy? 32 years old, 5'11".
I'm looking him up right now. Jeez, guy's in some shape.
Bro, he only has fought 12 rounds, 1, 2, 3 times. He fought an 8-rounder in 2024.
Well,
he fought a 6-rounder.
And Berlanga in 2023. Fought 12 rounds 0 times.
Okay, but Berlanga
was last fight.
Berlanga was in scheduled 10 round bouts.
He was never in a scheduled 12 rounder, though.
No. Okay, was Berlanga fighting scheduled 6 rounders in 2023?
No. No.
Why did he go from fighting 12 rounders in 2021?
In defense, I mean, that was in Argentina. No, where was that? It was in...
All his fights are in Germany. A lot of his fights were in Germany.
It's different there. They'll do a lot of shorter fights.
Got it.
In Europe.
Listen, I'm not going to like sit here and rip Skull apart. We kind of saw this coming. You definitely saw it coming. Here's the thing with Undisputed. Like you've talked about this numerous times in the show. Not all Undisputeds are built the same. Like yeah, if Canelo beats Skull, he's not three-time Undisputed in my mind. He's just won back that that belt that was taken away because of a technicality. Crawford was undisputed at 140. Okay, he went through
collected
that.
Collected the belts, right. Fought collected every the champion. Belts.
147, he came in and beat Spence.
Spence collected the belts.
Right. Now, 168, same thing. Mm-hmm. I understand what it's for. This is a great marketing tool. This is for the Canelo Crawford is a fight that boxing desperately needs every single year to bring the casuals together, to get SportsCenter tweeting about it. And if they could put undisputed on there, and if they in the lead up to the fight, if we could say Terrence Crawford has a chance to be 3-time undisputed, mm-hmm. that's never been done, or that hasn't been done since blank, blank, blank. Canelo, when he beats Skull, because he will in May. Wow. Canelo's undisputed again. I see the graphics right now for DAZN. I see Turkey putting out the tweet, undisputed in big letters. I mean, that's what this is. And they weren't going to put Canelo in there with a tough test in May. You're not going to do anything to get in the way of this Crawford fight.
No. This is all in line to make that fight happen. And you know, the writing was on the wall. I mean, if this fight, if we were really thinking like this Canelo Crawford fight is going to happen, which a few weeks ago we were like, oh, this fight's actually going to happen. All of these pieces need to fall in line this way, and that's one thing Turkey likes to do is set the pieces to line up for things in the future, which sometimes gets messed up because listen, these are fights. This isn't WWE. You can't just lay out who's going to win. So we've seen that happen in the past, but for this one, yeah, I agree. They're not trying to mess up this gravy train that is Crawford and Canelo in September. So, but also at the same time, they're setting the table for an undisputed, which is going to need to be part of the marketing. It's probably something that was not necessary to get Crawford to do it, but it is a negotiating token that you can be like, hey, listen, this is another undisputed fight. Granted, you're going to make more money than you've ever made, but also, you know, that chance to be 3-time undisputed is there. So this seems like a pretty obvious ploy or play.
Yeah, I just can't believe, like, Canelo Crawford was like an afterthought last year. It was like something that we were going to settle into, or something that we were going to be like, oh, I guess. Now it's the main attraction of the year.
It's not happening because Canelo was like, I'm not going to get any respect for it. And he was absolutely right. He was like, I'm not, you know, if I beat him, I think I'm too big. If I lose to him, it kills my legacy. So that fight makes no sense. I'm not interested. Back then, it was like you hear him say that and you're like, all right, well, this fight's not happening. But time rolls on and things happen.
It's crazy how you could do that. You can dangle other fights. You could dangle this Jake Paul fight that a lot of people were not happy, like if Canelo was going to fight him. And then the Jake Paul fight falls through. And the alternative is Canelo signing his 4-fight deal with Riyadh. And the idea that maybe he'll fight Benavidez, or the idea of now he's fighting Crawford. At least it's not Jake Paul. That's what boxing is always about, the bait and switch. Or oh, at least it's not this, but now it's that.
Well, it's the bait and switch and then go back. That's what it is. Because they baited us using the Jake Paul fight, which no boxing people wanted. But guess what? After September, they're going to come back to Jake Paul. So it's a bait and switch, and they're going to come back. That fight's going to happen.
I think the Jake Paul fight would have set up the Crawford fight just fine. If that was like the main sticking point, I think Turkey was saying.
I disagree. I'm going to push back on that, but go ahead.
Okay, but here, you could push back. I would gladly accept that. Mm-hmm. Canelo fighting on freaking Netflix, pushing close to 100 million viewers worldwide to watch him potentially knock out Jake Paul. We already know what Jake can do with the Netflix numbers. That buildup was going to be absolutely crazy. It would have gotten a ton of eyeballs on that fight. Yeah, it would have been Canelo would have won that fight. But now he's fighting William Skull in Saudi Arabia on Cinco de Mayo weekend. It's not the same to me. If you're looking for it to build up for Crawford, right? I think that's what Turkey said. And that, like, everything needs to build up to Crawford. We have to have the perfect fight in May. So everything is perfect. In their mind, the perfect fight was William Skull because of what we just said. It sets up undisputed. And I guess it makes sense in with that wacky boxing timeline with technicalities and the IBF and all that. You can't tell me that Canelo fighting on Netflix, and you know that they would have stacked that card with Serrano, Taylor, 3 maybe, big fights underneath it, huge promotion. And then Canelo wins the fight, and he might gain some fans, or some boxing fans that watched the last one, or non-boxing fans that watched the Netflix fight are now watching that one. because they want to see Serrano and Taylor again, and now they're going to watch Canelo and Crawford. I think there was ways to make everyone happy here. I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. Like to see Skull be announced after the Jake Paul Canelo stuff, which was entertaining. Like, it was very entertaining.
All right, you ready for my pushback? I've been biting my tongue. Listen, this weekend.
Ready.
This weekend, I was with Juan Manuel Marquez, legendary Mexican fighter, champion, first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy is literally a walking legend. He walks around San Antonio. People were like, it was like Jesus Christ himself came down. The way people were acting was crazy.
Iced Manny Pacquiao.
We're looking at Gary Jonas, the CEO of ProBox TV, is looking at me and Paul, and he goes, I thought these guys were stars. He goes, that is a different. And he looks at me. He goes, can you believe this? I go, yes, Gary. That's Juan Manuel Marquez. He is a walking legend. Paulie and I are nowhere near that level. He is a different kind of guy. I was also with Robert Garcia, trainer of the year multiple times. He's going to be a Hall of Fame trainer as well. Another Mexican. These guys were so against this Jake Paul thing. Robert's a businessman, so he was like, I get it, it's money, but listen, the heart of the Mexican fan base, the heart of boxing, which for many people think that Mexicans are the heart of boxing, Juan Manuel Marquez, not happy about that shit. Jake Paul fighting Canelo on the way to Crawford just taints the whole thing. It makes it too much of a business. It makes it too much of a WWE setup. At least Skull is a boxer. Jake Paul is a YouTube boxer. This is a legitimate guy. Granted, he's not great. Granted, he doesn't really deserve to be a champion based on, you know, how this all fell about in terms of getting stripped from Canelo getting stripped to the dubious decision against Shishkin. Shishkin's actually a pretty good fighter, by the way. I wouldn't have minded seeing
Shishkin. Shishkin must be sick right now.
That would have, beside himself. But that would have been actually not an easy fight for Canelo, actually, if it was Shishkin. Not saying any fight's easy, but yeah, no, I'm telling you, man, the heart of boxing was not okay with the Jake Paul fight setting up. I understand where you're coming from, 100% business. Yeah. I get it, you know, from a marketing standpoint, but dude, for the heart and soul of this sport, it's better off this way.
I don't disagree, and I would not expect Juan Manuel Marquez to like Jake Paul versus Canelo Alvarez. Like, that doesn't shock me at all. Yeah. This was, if they're looking to make the biggest fight possible, and I don't know, I think that's what Turkey wants. I don't think he's in it to make money, because we know that the economics of a lot of the fights that he's done so far, it's just not, they're not making money. They're doing it to bring eyeballs to Saudi Arabia, and that's what they're meant to do, and they're succeeding at that. So if he's trying to make the biggest fight possible, then that's what you do, the Jake Paul Canelo fight, the buildup and all that. If you're doing sticking with what Turkey has said in his interviews,
he's so against the YouTube fighting.
Wow. I know. He had a really funny line about, he's like, find Mr. Beast in Disney belt. And he has this like little smirk in that. I don't know. It's a moot point now. I would love to see how this all works out. If, you know, a year from now, Turkey changes course and is willing to put Jake Paul in there with Canelo as part of a Riyadh season card, if they, you know, want to make some money on it, because it's a massive fight here in the U.S. Like, I understand all the detractors against it, of course, but it is, you can't deny that he would have made, it was a bigger fight than the Crawford fight, and maybe that played a big role in it too. They didn't want that to overshadow the Crawford fight.
Bigger monetarily. Sure, but it is an undisputed fight. I know, like everything you said earlier, it's like, well, it's not really considering it that, but it'll be billed that, you know, if Crawford really, I mean, whoever wins, if Skull wins, he's undisputed, you know, super middleweight champion of the world.
Not that this should matter.
There is Skull still has, that.
I get it. Skull has 372 followers on Twitter.
Stop.
I swear. Wow. No one knows who this guy is. Yeah. Marquez said, I don't know who William Skull is. Someone caught him outside Pro Box fight.
Yeah, he asked me because so the news to me broke because I saw it on our Inside Boxing Live Instagram. You posted or company posted that was the fight that was being made. And I told everyone that was in the car. It was me, Ricardo Salas. It was Juan Manuel Marquez. It was Paul Manaji, Jimmy Smith. And you know, everybody's in the middle of a conversation. I'm like, all right, guys, May 3rd, it's set. It's Canelo versus Skull. And Marquez, you know, he's in the front seat. He turns around, he goes, oh, Skull. He goes, wait, I think you think knockout? I go, yeah, I think he's going to knock him out. He goes, yeah. He's like, I think knockout too.
What's up with Marquez and Canelo? Are they hating each other still, or are they back?
So I don't know. I think there's a tremendous amount of respect because you can't not respect Canelo. And Marquez understands the sport. He understands that he's an excellent fighter, of course. He just doesn't like a lot of the moves that he makes. It's not – Marquez is an old school guy. You fight the best. You win. You lose. Sometimes you lose, but you always want to fight him again. He fought Pacquiao 4 times. You know,
like that's what Canelo did.
Just fight. And yes, Canelo did do that for a while, but I think Marquez is looking at this now in this last trimester, so to speak, of Canelo, the kinds of fights he's been taking. Marquez, I don't think he has a ton of respect. I don't want to speak for him, but it just seems like they've had some news beefs or public.
Yeah,
beefs.
It's been well documented. That's why I asked.
I mean, there's no vitriol from Marquez when Canelo comes up, like behind the scenes. It's not like the guy's like, you know, hates him. I don't see that. I think it has to do a lot of it with just Mexican culture and the way that
Canelo's the king, man. He's the king right now. He's going to get criticized just like Mayweather did when he was the king, just like De La Hoya did when he was up top. Like, I don't think Mayweather reached these levels. And there's some of these contracts. The contract that Canelo just signed, it kind of puts Mayweather to shame a little bit with what he made. It's just different numbers. It's inflation. It's different
Mayweather
numbers.
Mayweather comes in, he goes, inflation, bro.
Yeah. Inflation, you know he's going to post something. You know he's going to have something to say about it. Someone's going to catch him.
He's been pretty quiet in all of this.
He has been.
Surprisingly.
He's been very quiet. Really, he's definitely like maturing. Him. He's definitely taking a step back a little bit.
Did you see that? They did a side-by-side video of Inoue and Canelo doing a lot of the same moves. I was watching that and I'm like, man, everybody shits on Canelo. I'm like, yo, this guy's still really, really good. I think in hindsight, after he retires, we all look back, I think he's going to get a lot more love. He gets a lot of hate right now. I'm a big Canelo fan, always have been. I think he's a fantastic technician. And I think he's gotten better over the years. But, you know, obviously he's not going to be as good now as he was a few years ago when he had that run where he was like Saunders, Caleb Plant, you know, Callum Smith. Like, it's a different guy than he is now, but still, he's still a fantastic fighter.
That was 2021. He was like on top of the world. I remember doing that.
It was crazy. Yeah,
I remember doing this show and like prefacing the show, like, listen, guys, if you don't like Canelo, like, just turn it off, because like, I have to go through how great this guy is and the type of run that he's on right now. It's gonna sound like an extreme glazing session, but this guy is unbelievable. Like, that was 2021, and
I was in the room for that Saunders fight. It was 80,000 in Texas. It was crazy, bro, and he beat the hell out of a really good fighter, smashed his face.
Yeah, I just there's. I'm happy that he have a schedule now where Canelo, and this is all put in the past. So 4-fight deal, you know, 2 of the fights, William Scull in May, Crawford in September. The following 2 are going to be in Saudi Arabia, and they're not going to be in May, and they're not going to be in September. And Canelo, yeah, has deviated from that schedule a little bit over the years because of just contract stuff. You know, he fought Kovalev in November. He fought Charlo in late September. For the most part, Canelo fights in May.
And
he fights
in February or something, or January.
Right, that was COVID, and he was trying to get that 4th fight in. For the most part, Canelo fights in May, and he fights in September, and that's for the Mexican people. Well, now, next year...
The stars always fought then. De La Hoya fought then, Mayweather fought then, Canelo fought them.
It's crazy. So next year, Canelo supposedly will be fighting in February and in October in Saudi.
What's
I'm
the idea
curious.
Behind that? Is there a reason?
I think it has something to do with like the scheduling over in Riyadh. Like, what? I really don't know. It's what they want, and if they're paying him $87 million per fight, and this is just speculation. Something I heard was the $350 million. This kind of reminds me of like the Ronaldo deal. Like, Ronaldo is paid to play in that Saudi soccer league, and he's over there for the most part. So I think they were like, all right, we're going to pay you top dollar, Canelo, but you know, 3 of your 4 fights have to be in Saudi Arabia. And I would assume that was a major sticking point for Canelo, because we know that this guy likes to fight in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. We've been to his fights in Las Vegas the last couple of
crazy still.
It's insane. So I know September is going to be wild, and I'm happy about that. But I just wonder how the Mexican fans feel, because I know that's something you brought up with Marquez, and something that we've known about Canelo is that he cares deeply about his Mexican fans, and all the fights are free over in Mexico. And that could just be the end all be all. If the fights are still free, and they're happening in Saudi Arabia rather than Las Vegas, I don't think the fans people probably care. But I'm curious how the Mexican fans are taking to this deal. And are they happy that he's now, you know, one of the highest paid athletes in the world? Are they upset that he's not going to be fighting potentially on May and September? Are they upset that it's going to be in Saudi Arabia? I'm just curious about that part. It's not the biggest part of this deal by any means, but it's Canelo, and we're going to dissect every part of it. So I'm curious about that, and I wonder how much of a give and take during that negotiation. And I also wonder if Canelo's actually, you know, in next year, is he going to actually fight Saudi, or are you going to push back on that?
I wonder also, another point, all great points, Dave. I also wonder how much push Turkey has in this deal for the opponents. If you're getting $87 million to fight William Skull, Crawford's Crawford. It's a humongous fight. But then, like, his next fight's like, well, you know, 87 is gonna be the number. So do I have to fight Benavidez, or can I fight, you know, anyone? You know, that's these long term deals make me nervous with that, because why fight if we already know that Canelo is not willing to fight the very best all the time at this point of his career? What's going to keep him from avoiding those guys and just taking the money?
Great point. And it was my next bullet point here that I have in my notes, is Turkey, in his interview with Kopitar on ESPN, said Turkey says he hopes to convince Canelo to fight Benavidez. He didn't say Canelo will be fighting Benavidez. Yeah, and it makes me think that part of this contract, there was no listed opponents in it.
Future opponents, yeah.
Well, you have to choose from. I don't think Benavidez was on it. I don't think there's even that list. That there was a Turkey put out that maybe he can fight the winner of Beterbiev and Bivol. But then also said if Bivol beats Beterbiev on February 22nd, there will be a third fight. Canelo versus Bivol has been talked about for a minute now. Canelo has talked about it. I haven't heard Canelo say he wants to fight Beterbiev. I haven't heard Canelo say he wants to go back up to 175. They're talking about Shiraz at 160, going up to 168, potentially fighting Canelo. Those were some of the names that were tossed around from Turkey as part of this deal. One of the names that was not mentioned was Benavidez. And him saying, I hope to convince Canelo, leads me to believe that there's nothing in that contract that says you have to fight this fighter, or you have to fight that fighter. And that was ultimately the downfall of Canelo's original deal with DAZN, as I said earlier. They could not force him to fight anybody. And they had this huge paycheck next to his name, $36, $37 million at the time. And they went to litigation. And we ended up getting that Triple G fight way down the line. So obviously the Benavidez fight, like, that's what my next topic is. Like, what do the following two fights look? What do those last two fights look like for Canelo? Is it Benavidez and Bivol? Then yeah, crown the guy. Is it Shiraz and another matchroom guy? And then Canelo retires, and then Jake Paul? Well, we will see.
So I've signed multi-fight deals with different promotional companies and as a new signee. And I always had fighter options, guys I had to fight, opponents. And there was different classes, different tiers for certain dates. So a multi-fight deal. So if I was promised three fights this year, this is the pool of fighters that you have to fight. It has to be at a certain level. The fact that what you're saying to seems like it's alluding to there wasn't names of fighters is very interesting. It leaves the door open for what happened last time when the deal fizzled up because they couldn't find an opponent. Like for me, I had no choice. I mean, I signed on the dotted line, and there was pools of opponents, and these are the names that were there. So if they got called up, it's like, all right, that's the guy we're fighting. You know, it is what it is. That's kind of how my career always was. But at the same time, Canelo doesn't seem to have that. He's got the option or the ability to pick and choose and to blow up a deal if it's not who he wants.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what the case is here. Speculating.
Imagine that, being able to blow up a deal as a fighter. I'm crazy. I could never do that.
There's only.
They told me who I was fighting and how much, and I said okay.
There's only X amount of guys that could do what Canelo just pulled off, and it's wild. We'll see with those final two fights. So what happens if Crawford Canelo is a very close fight, and it goes down to the scorecards, and then there's a rematch? That's the third fight.
That counts. That's one of the, yeah, of course that would be, I honestly think that would be ideal for most of the people involved, right? Because Crawford obviously gets another payday out of it. And, the Riyadh people now have, you know, this great fight trying, we're going to do it again. We have another guarantee
in Saudi.
In Saudi. Right. Exactly. So the first fight was, is going to be over here, correct? It's going to be in the States.
Yeah.
And then, right, so then the third bout is supposed to be in Saudi. If it's a rematch with Crawford, and it's a massive fight. It makes the fight even bigger.
So Canelo will be 35 going on 36 when this four-fight deal is over. I mean, he's talked about wanting to fight. Young?
Jeez.
It's crazy.
I mean, not that that's young, but like you expect him to be older because he's been around for so long.
Right. He could do another deal. He could fight Jake Paul. Like Jake Paul, I don't think that fight's going. If anything, I think that fight got even bigger because there was like some real smoke around it. And well, Jake Paul's not going to be quiet.
Real. And Jake Paul's like going nuts right now. You see the
video
it's
pretty crazy.
Mariachi band dancing with his shirt off.
Yeah. He's got he's going crazy. And
I mean, he's a master troll. That's not going to stop.
No. If anything, that's going to make the fight even bigger. And if Canelo gets it when he's like 36 and he goes through this next four fights, I think there'll be a lot more of an appetite for the fight. I think the major sticking point a lot of people had with it, Marquez, I heard Sergio Mora, some, you know, the boxing people, it's like, you can't do that fight now. You can't do the Jake Paul fight now. I have no problem with doing it when you're 36, 37, but you can't do it now. I
agree.
Disagree.
Where do the titles go? Where do the belts go?
They can just I disagree the fact that like you do it because it makes business sense, and that's what Canelo kind of is now. But he's doing both. Canelo, he's like, oh, I'm undisputed champion, but I'll also entertain a fight with Jake.
Yeah, but you know, it seemed like he used it as a negotiating ploy, not so much like a fight that was actually going to happen, and he's setting the table for later. Because the biggest problem that I have with that, the fact that he's, you know, I think he's going to fight Jake, and I have no problem with that. But like you said, you have to do it as part of your retirement tour. You can't hold the belts hostage while you're going on side quests to make stupid money. Because there's champions, there's fighters, there's contenders that their dream is to be a world champion, and you're just holding the belts because obviously Jake can't fight for the belts. He's not ranked in any of the organizations properly to get that kind of opportunity. He's never fought 12 rounds, 12 threes. So, you know, that's another thing. It's like, where do those belts go? They're just going to sit idle? Are they going to strip them of all the belts? No, of course not.
No, they're not. Just Canelo.
So that's 8 months of the year those belts are not viable for anyone else.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's been happening. Well, it's not happening. Jake Paul fight Canelo. It's not happening, at least for now. Turkey did tweet at us, Chris. A lot of people want to probably hear what we have to say about that. I was like about to go to sleep. I mean, it was so weird. It came right after the four fight deal announcement from Turkey's Twitter account. And then this next tweet was a video of us. And I was like, did a quadruple take. I'm like, what the heck? I was like, this is a mistake. I was like, because I don't remember you saying anything too crazy. Like, I think you said in the video, like, you know, what they're doing right now is negotiating. These are some big names. These are some big egos. And they're negotiating. They're figuring out a way to make this fight happen. Canelo wants something. Jake wants something. Turkey wants something. And they're all haggling over getting to that finish line.
Well, I said that the Crawford fight was definitely not off, and this was a negotiating ploy by both these
guys. You were right there.
And, you know, that they were going to come back to it. And I gave the story about my own career when I walked away from deals to just come back. It's like haggling in Chinatown for anyone who goes to New York. You know, you walk away, you walk away from the table, and then you come back and you get a better price. Like, that's
the only thing you were like, yeah, exactly. The only thing you were wrong about, not really wrong, was that you said, oh, we're not going to hear about this fight for a little bit. Because when we recorded that, we were under the impression that Jake was not fighting Crawford. I mean, excuse me, Canelo was not fighting Crawford. So you said, Crawford is not dead, and we probably won't hear about it until we usually hear about Canelo fights. And I think that's what Turkey like stuck to, was like, you will hear about it because I just told you that it's happening. Well, that's different. We're living in a different world where Turkey's making these fights, he's making these deals, and he's laying out a plan, which I think fight fans love. I like that. I like having a plan. I like knowing when Canelo's going to fight and having it out there. So it was interesting to see that.
I said that half jokingly because Canelo lately announces his fights 5 weeks before. Obviously, that's not the way his fights are supposed to be made. Whatever, that got under his skin. I don't understand why. Regardless, no harm was intended. But it is what it is. We still got retweeted, and that's cool.
But hope he's watching right now, Turk.
Yeah, in terms of obviously he does watch, so which is great. Thank you. But in terms of what Turkey's doing, making these fights in advance, I love it because he's doing these awesome video that are like movies leading up to the fights. And I hated them at first because I'm like, look at these guys acting, blah, blah, blah. But the ones they did for Better Beave and Bivol were so sick.
Yeah.
And crazy. Some of these heavyweight fights, the one for Usyk and Fury was out of control. So you've got this ability to really build up these fights. I don't know how much it helps, but I mean, for us boxing heads, it's a lot of fun to see that. So I think if that was part of probably one of the sticking points as well for Canelo, because Canelo likes to do everything with his own timeline. He's got to fall under the Riyadh timeline now where, okay, we're laying things out for in advance because we need to market this properly. I do like that part.
I'm curious to see how that's going to work with Canelo. You know, someone that says, I'm my own boss. And now,
well, Canelo's got an attitude about him when it, these kinds of things, like he tends to, you know, want to shuck the system and do his own thing. And you can't really tell him what to do.
I can't wait to see how it all plays out. What does it mean for U.S. boxing? Is there a Mexican fighter out there that's going to take the fill that void? Is David Benavidez going to fight on May 5th now? If he doesn't get Canelo, if he doesn't get Beterbiev, if he doesn't get Bivol, Rafael Espinoza, Ryan Garcia, there's some Mexican and Mexican-American fighters. Like, this is a big-time void. I mean, there's that. You expect big fights in May. You expect big fights September in the U.S. So at least you did for the last 20 years going back to De La Hoya and stuff. I know things have changed. The paradigm has shifted to Saudi, but there's still a U.S. market. So I'm curious to see who steps in and takes those dates, if anyone takes those dates, because I know TGP Promotions had a hold on May 3rd. And another thing too is Turkey says that they're still going to do that Ryan Garcia, Rolly Haney card on Friday in New York City. Then he said he's going to get on a jet, fly back to Saudi and do the Canelo fight the next night or morning in Saudi because it's going to be a nighttime broadcast here in the States. Isn't that crazy?
We'll see. Logistically, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, but they have more money than anyone to put this on.
Yeah, of course. But also, you got to understand, New York City is its own animal. And doing a fight there Friday night, it's supposed to be in Times Square, apparently.
He didn't say Times Square, but he said a crazy location. He also said he wants to do fights in Alcatraz, Eiffel Tower, crazy locations.
Yeah, well, again, there's logistical issues for all these things. New York City is its own thing. I mean, Friday night in New York City and then jumping on a plane. I mean, whatever, more power to you. But
it's going to be a wild weekend, tell you that much. The amount of content we're going to be producing that weekend between...
We're not going to sleep, dude. We're not going to sleep.
I'm obviously going to go to the New York City fights and then... You know, we all get ready for Canelo the next night. We're all going to be watching that. So wild, crazy, wild and crazy times in the boxing world. But I'm curious who's going to step in, if anyone steps in. Are we going to do another fight on May 3rd night? So we're going to have Canelo. We're going to have Canelo Saturday night. We're going to have that Ryan Garcia Haney card on Friday and then potentially another PBC card.
I bet you the Haney Ryan will get moved.
It's pretty adamant.
Why overlap? Like that.
There's some type of video game connected to it that they're it's all part of a video game release.
Yeah, but you're cannibalizing eyes.
I get it. No, I mean, and yeah.
I know you know. You're the numbers guy. You understand where I'm coming from. Like, it's interesting. I don't know. We'll see. Things change. Yeah. This is boxing. Last week,
crazy time.
Canelo was fighting Jake Paul, so things change.
It's nice that things have settled down a little bit, and we can kind of catch our breath and figure it out. But that was a wild... 72 hours that involve, I would say, three of the biggest names right now in boxing.
Lost some sleep, guys. Dan lost some
sleep.
Dan has, he's going to develop IBS soon. This guy is getting he's losing hair. he breaks out in hives. There's a lot going on.
Hair's still there, guys.
I'm messing
with you. I like being, not that we were part of the drama at all. Yeah, Turkey did send a tweet our way, which it was playful. Put a little he had some crying emojis in there. He was laughing. Yeah. I just don't like being like directly involved in it. Like that's weird to me. Like I usually watch it from the sidelines.
I don't care. I've been involved in these things before, so it's nothing really new for me. I saw that because it was late. I saw that and I was like, cool. Text you a few times and went right to sleep. I was like, I'll deal with this in the morning.
Oh, this is crazy, man. This is nuts. Wild times. I'm sure we're gonna see more about it over this past weekend. Derek Chisora battered Otto Wallin in his quote-unquote final fight. It's not going to be his final fight. Damn. Yeah, Otto, I mean, that picture of him it almost looks fake, of him flying backwards. Hate that. I love Otto Wallin, but I hate that he's He's awesome. New York City's lives here in the city by way of Sweden. It just wasn't enough. Chisora just grown man him around that ring, knocked him down numerous times, knocked him down the 12th, knocked him down earlier in the fight. Chisora looked freaking great, man. And
his gas tank was out of control. Out of control. I mean,
how does he do this, man?
I don't know, man. He like the amount of fights that he's had, his
49,
age, his size, you know, the tough fights that he's been in, dude. He's been knocked out cold. He's been
cold.
Battered for entire fights. And for him to be doing this, he's made out of something different. That guy is something else.
Told you, it makes me queasy. Like, to see him still fighting the last like 3 or 4 years because of the damage that he's taken and some of those rough fights that he's been in, and just the longevity.
Even
you know,
this
50
one,
fights.
He's bleeding out of his face, all swolled up. Like, it was tough. The guy's a warrior.
A few years ago, he had that. Like, he went back to the corner. I think it was during the COVID days where there wasn't as much sound, and you can hear him breathe in the corner. And it sounded like insane, like him in the corner breathing so heavily. And like, he has now fought Usyk, Klitschko, Vitaly Klitschko, Fury 3 times, David Haye, Parker twice, Joe Joyce, Dillian White twice, David Price, Pulev twice, Takam, Hellenius, and Adovali.
Dude, spending 3 fights with Tyson Fury, yikes. Yikes.
Insane resume. And now he wants to fight again. He went into the ring and he had these pictures all printed out and prepared. He called out Joshua, Dubois, and Usyk after the fight. Don't think we'll get any of those guys. Maybe Joshua, because Joshua's looking for a dance partner.
I can see Dillian White. Isn't Dillian White fighting soon?
Dillian White is fighting Joe Joyce.
Because, I mean, their first 2 fights were sick. Dillian White and Chisora, the first fight was a split decision. The second fight, Chisora got KO'd like, in a ridiculous left hook KO that was nuts. I could see a third fight there, just because, you know, even though Dillian White won both, they were both entertaining, and both these guys are a little long in the tooth and beat up at this point. Why not?
Don't necessarily need to see him against the top.
No,
you know,
no, I don't want to see him against the top young guys.
Usyk is not going to fight Chisora. Joshua, like I said, maybe. I would like to see him against a Dillian White type. I'll tell you a fight out there that would make a lot of sense. Is Derek Chisora versus Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Dude, I think I would favor Chisora in that.
Definitely. He's just way more in the rhythm.
And he's so physical.
I'm pretty sure Wilder's fighting on BLK Prime.
BLK Prime still around?
Oh, they're like back. They're putting on some fight cards. April 26th, Deontay Wilder is supposedly fighting Curtis Harper.
Oh, actually, I saw this. Yes, I did see this. Yes.
I believe the idea is to get Wilder a win. If he can't beat Curtis Harper, then he's officially done.
Right.
Get him a win, and Wilder has one more like Saudi fight in it, whether it's against Joshua, which, I mean, it was supposed to be Joshua versus Fury. That went out the window because Fury is, quote-unquote, retired. Fury was at the Chisora fight. So now Wilder's definitely looking for one last Saudi payday. Chisora says his next fight should be in London, maybe, but I would not be shocked if it's Riyadh.
I've called Curtis Harper at a pro box fight. I've just remembered that. He actually got a win on our air. Fought a beat undefeated guy.
Yeah, so Wilder could maybe get that fight. But Chisora gets the win. It was a fun fight. I tuned in afternoon. It was Saturday afternoon. Fight. I liked it. Did you see this? Anthony Cassis is fighting Lee Wood.
Kakache?
God, I always mess his name up.
Is his nickname Apache? Apache?
Always mess this guy's name up. Yeah. Anthony Kakache?
Kakache.
Kakache? I love it. He's a great fighter. He's fighting Lee Wood. Just announced today.
He's fighting May Lee 10th. Wood?
Yeah, May 10th.
Wow, that's a good fight.
Didn't realize Lee Wood had not fought since 2023.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been a while.
But when he does fight, he's in thrillers. I'll always watch Lee Wood fight. I think this has all the makings of a banger. I think this is part of Queensberry's big rollout as they're now with the zone.
Dude, Lee Wood is, for me, he's the British Arturo Gatti.
Yeah. Got the perm.
Yeah.
Got the broccoli haircut that all the YouTubers have here in the States.
All the kids have. My nephews have that as well.
Yeah, me too. Mine too. I was just with them yesterday watching the Super Bowl. like this fight that was just announced. So yeah, there's some fights being announced. Queensberry is now under the Zone banner. So they announced that Joyce versus Dillian White card, an all heavyweight card. They have that in April, I believe. And then May 10th, we get this Lee Wood fight. What else?
That's at 130.
Yeah, I thought
that'll be his first. So that's going to be Lee Wood's first fight at 130. That's going to be interesting because Kakachi is pretty big for 130.
I thought he was going to go up to. Wasn't he going to go up to 135 and give up that belt?
Kakachi?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know he's big for 30, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a good fight. Both these guys were on like really good runs.
They were.
Both are coming off of beating Josh Warrington. Lee Wood stopped him, but Kakachi beat him as well.
Yeah, I like that card. It's time to head out to New York. I'm in New York, and you're coming here for Keyshawn Davis and Dennis Baranchuk. We got Abdullah Mason on the card. We got Xander Zayas on the card. We have the heavyweight on the card. Why is his name falling from Jared me? Anderson. Jared Anderson on the card. Yeah, we're going to be
a top-ranked deep card of talent.
Chris, you're on the international call.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am, with Christina Poncher.
So we will be in New York City. So all of our New York City listeners or anyone traveling to New York City, let us know because we're going to be doing some cool content. I think I'll head out to the weigh-in, try to do our next show. Could be in person, live.
That's
not live. Maybe live.
I don't know why not. Maybe live, depending on what
we can go live if we have the capabilities
set up, depending on what.
But our next show will be coming to you from New York City, covering Keyshawn Davis and Dennis Baranchuk going for that first world title, kind of kicking off what should be a run of lightweights with Keyshawn fighting next weekend, Shakur fighting Floyd Schofield February 22nd, and then Tank fighting Lamont Roach March 1st on PPV.com. Hopefully, they can all of them fight each other after this. I expect, if Keyshawn wins, Chris, to really push that Gervonta card.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be calling him out. I'm curious to see how he is fight week, if that comes up, or if he's just dead focused on Baranchuk.
He's going to be asked about it every step of the way.
Of course, of course. But I'm curious at how much he's going to actually deal with that, or he's just going to be like, no, I'm focused on Baranchuk, which he should be. Baranchuk is a tough, tricky guy. It's not an easy fight. He's the kind of guy you got to figure him out. But you know, Keyshawn is stellar, so we'll see. I think it's going to be a good litmus test once we see this fight where Keyshawn's at.
I'm excited to have a New York City card. I mean, they're few and far between these days. There's not as many as there used to be.
It's going to be cold, man. Excited. Am I going to be freezing?
I'm looking out my window right now of snow. It snowed on Saturday night in like a burst. We got like 4 or 5 inches of snow in like 3 hours.
No.
Had to dig out my car.
It's literally perfect here. It's 80 and sunny. There's not a cloud in the sky. And I'm going up to snow. I gotta wear boots. Ugh.
Yeah, it'll probably be gone by then. Like today, it's that like, you know, like after the storm, and it's very pretty in New York City. Like the pictures coming out of Times Square and like Manhattan the night on Saturday night when it was snowing was beautiful. And the next day, if anyone that's been to New York City, lived in New York City, you know, the next day after a snowstorm where everything turns brown,
just slush, just gross,
slush. There's puddles dangerous. That you think slip
dangerous. You're slipping. People break
dangerous puddles that you think it could be like an inch. Mm-hmm. But it's real foot.
Yeah, or it could be half your rank, half your foot. You're going ankle deep.
That happened to me on the way to work once. I was like, oh, I can step in this puddle. It was an optical illusion. Next thing you know, socks soaked, show up to work.
And you're literally at your desk with your socks off, trying to dry your feet.
Terrible. I hate that. That's why I stopped going into offices. Well, that
New York City jungle rot.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. That's why I started. I was like, I can't work. I can't do this anymore. I can't commute anymore. I just want to be a boxing talking head.
So then you became a podcaster. Look at that.
Yeah, baby. All right, everybody. We'll see you later in the week for what should be a really fun one in New York City in the theater with Keyshawn Davis, Top Rank, the full card, and all that content coming your way. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.